Florida's newest and best in radio, Sunshine Radio 96.7 FM.
American Veterans Alliance, WVET, onlineradio.com. Well, good morning, everybody. This is Voice for Veterans, and you're listening to us worldwide at WVETOnlineRadio.com. Voice for Veterans, and I'm Keith, the boss of the beach. But locally, you will be hearing this at 96.7 FM. 96.7 FM. St. Petersburg Sunshine Radio. Today's show is going to be dedicated to the 4th of July coming up. We got a lot of things we're going to talk about why the 4th of July. The reason the 4th of July is important to us in this day and time is our commitment to America. There are different peoples that are American. There are different cities that are American. And guess what? America is all covered around the world based on the home of United States of America. Because there's some other Americas around here, but we're talking from our home base. And we're, of course, in the greatest state in America right now, Florida. And we're broadcasting live today from Florida. Last week, we went down to the Florida Keys in Miami and talked to our friends down there who also support veterans. Don't forget that we have a great state. And we will be talking to the governor's office, our great governor, DeSantis. He's got a battle, but he's winning the fights. The battle still goes on in this state, but we're winning. I went to New York, and guess what? Everybody was wearing a mask. I got back to Florida, and very few people are wearing masks down here. That means we did good. No matter what, Florida came out on top with this pandemic. So do not kick Florida. We got plenty of fresh air and sunshine. And that's not for sale. That's free. But the gas, you got to pay for. The food, you got to pay for. But none of the best stuff. Salt water is free. Sunshine's free. And fresh air is free. Come on and visit us. We appreciate it. 4th of July coming, and won't be no better place on the planet than to be right here in the great state of Florida. Tune us in when you get here and let us know you came. And don't forget, tune in to WVETOnlineRadio.com. We're going to start a little contest. It's going to say, tell us a little bit of something about yourself and sign up. And we have some giveaways to give away with one of our partners, Soundcheck Studios. And we did the Little Richard Band album, and we're going to give those away as a consolation prize for tuning in to us or coming to the website and signing up under the events page. Stay tuned for that one. A little bit more information coming until the contest is over so that you'll be able to sign up and get something free. Now, 4th of July. We just did Juneteenth Day, but we can't forget the 4th of July. That's the full celebration of freedom. It came many years ago. And we're still going to honor that as of today. We can't lose with the stuff we use. 4th of July is our mandate, and we're going to let everybody enjoy it. But remember that a lot of veterans who came through the war still have a little bit of PTSD or shell shock. And anytime you think about the 4th of July, remember that some veterans get a little bit of touch when they have that. Too many firecrackers going on. Upcoming a segment we found on Channel 5, and they're going to give you a little bit more information. Stay tuned for this. I think you'll look at it and love it and visualize what they're saying. And again, you can go to YouTube and find it. This one's from Channel 5. Stay tuned.
While in downtown Nashville, the show must go on despite the weather. Crowds are enjoying live music during a prelude to the 4th. It's a concert that's happening right now down on Broadway. That's where we find News Channel 5's Andrea Klein-Thomas. And Andrea, crowds expected to be even bigger tomorrow.
Absolutely. Right now, crowds are growing, but this is just the beginning. Now, you know, July 4th, the live music and fireworks are a staple, but so many people that actually served our country can't even celebrate in the festivities. We talked to a combat veteran today who tells us why this time of year is especially difficult.
Four deployments in 8 years can take its toll.
I've been to Iraq 3 times and then Afghanistan once. The last deployment was the Afghanistan one.
Thousands of miles from the battlefield.
You're never actually in that calm mode.
4 years since coming home for good.
Stuff on the middle of the road. And your brain's thinking, it's like, why is that in the middle of the road? Is that an IED or what's going to happen?
The effects still linger.
The fireworks and everything is just, it brings back a lot of memories. And then flashbacks is what we can call them. And then, I mean, it's emotional sometimes, but it also reminds you of those people that didn't come back with you.
Independence Day is difficult for this combat veteran, not because of what we celebrate, but how. Big crowds and fireworks trigger symptoms of Klein's PTSD.
I've been laughed at around this area and other places. When you're not expecting that big boom, you hit the floor. That's first reaction.
You have to remember, during deployments, that boom could mean the difference between life and death.
I wish there was an on and off switch. There isn't, unfortunately.
It's a new reality Klein is learning to live with. For now, it requires him to stay away from large 4th of July celebrations. But he has one request.
Especially if you live near veterans or active duty service members, just let them know. It's like, hey, around this time, I'm going to shoot some fireworks.
He says a heads up would make it so much easier, especially this holiday weekend, that his service allows us to continue to celebrate.
Now, Jonathan Klein bravely shows us that the stigma is lessening surrounding PTSD. He is undergoing treatment and hopes to one day be able to bring his kids down to celebrations like this one with fireworks and music. We hope so, too, and thank him and all of the military veterans and soldiers for their service. Reporting live on Broadway, I'm Andrea Klein-Thomas, News Channel 5 HD.
Have you or someone you love ever been in a tornado or car accident? Experienced sexual or physical abuse? Served in a war zone? Most people have been through some kind of life-threatening or traumatic event, and it's common to have stress-related reactions after a trauma. But when symptoms last more than 3 months and they're not getting better, it's time to get help. Meet Sam. He recently returned from serving in Iraq. For many people, being in a crowded place like a baseball stadium or busy grocery store feels comfortable, but not for Sam. What should be a nice night out, taking his wife Tara to a restaurant, isn't fun for him anymore. He can only handle it if he sits with his back to the wall where he has a good view of the exits, and even then, he's too on edge to really enjoy it. At home, things aren't the way they used to be either. His sleep is restless at best, and some nights Tara isn't sure if Sam comes to bed at all. Sam seems to have a short fuse these days, and sometimes he snaps at Tara over tiny misunderstandings. What he and Tara never talk about is the trauma he experienced when he was deployed. He's never mentioned the guilt, the weight he carries around, wishing he could have done more to prevent what happened. Instead, he's turned inward, pulling away from family and friends. Tara tried to give him some space, but after months passing without change, she really started to worry. She was the one to finally say what they were both thinking. It's time to get help. That's when Sam finally decided to take action. He reached out to a doctor who told him about PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder. Sam's symptoms were getting in the way of enjoying his life, re-experiencing hyperarousal, feeling worse about yourself or the world, and avoidance are the 4 types of symptoms people with PTSD have. Sam's doctor explained each. The first is reliving the event, or re-experiencing. This is often an unwanted memory or even a flashback where you feel like you're right back in the situation again. Seeing, hearing, or even smelling something that reminds you of the trauma can trigger these. Nightmares where you relive parts of the event in your sleep are common too. The second is avoidance, staying away from situations that remind you of the trauma. That's why Sam tries to avoid thinking about painful memories altogether. He pours himself into his work or uses alcohol to keep his mind from going back to the trauma. The third is feeling worse about yourself or the world since the trauma. You might feel overwhelming guilt, like Sam, or not trust anyone. You just might not be able to feel happy, even when you are around people you love. The fourth type of symptom is sudden rushes of anger, irritability, feeling jittery, always on alert, always on the lookout for danger. This is called hyperarousal, and loud noises or a driver cutting in front of you can be all it takes to set you off. If you recognize any of these symptoms of PTSD in yourself or someone you love, don't wait. See your doctor to find out if it could be PTSD. Just like Sam and Tara found, there is hope. You don't have to live with the symptoms of PTSD forever. Effective treatments are available. To learn more about PTSD or how to get help, visit the National Center for PTSD website at www.ptsd.va.gov.
Stay tuned. More from the Boss of the Beach at WVETOnlineRadio.com. American Veterans Alliance, WVETOnlineRadio.com.
This is Tim with WVETOnlineRadio.com. We're interviewing Mike, my favorite brother-in-law, because he's got the coolest cars. He's going to tell us a little bit about his military service and what he's been doing since he retired from the Navy. You did 30 years, right, Mike?
Yes, it did.
Tell us a little bit about your time in and, you know, like what ship you were on, where you were stationed, stuff like that. And anything you want to talk about with your time in. Tell us when you went in and, you know, whatever details you want to give.
So I joined the Navy in 1987 from Hawaii. And Debbie joined the Navy in 1986. She moved me to Hawaii from Florida. I initially went to boot camp in Great Lakes, Illinois, and then went to A school in Damneck, Virginia. I graduated A school as an operations specialist. I was a seaman recruit and retired after 30 years as a ops tech, Chief Warrant Officer 4. My first ship was a Garcia class frigate, FF-1048, the sample. And I made one WESPAC on that from Hawaii. And my next decommissioned that ship and went to my second ship, which was the Harold E. Holt, FF-1074. Made another WESPAC on that, and we moved to Virginia in 1991, and that's where I spent the rest of my career. So from 91 to 2017 was spent in Virginia. I did mostly small boys my whole career, destroyers like the Arleigh Burke, the Ross, the McFall. I did a couple oilers, the John Linthal, the Kanawha, and my last tour was the was a carrier, the Harry S. Truman. So that was my last deployment, 15 going into 16. I made a total of 14 deployments in my 30 years, and 21 of my 30 years were at sea on ships. So my shore duties included relocatable over the horizon radar instructor in Virginia, Southwest Naval Station, Northwest, and Damneck. I was stationed there as an instructor, an A school instructor, and a graphics artist. I also went to teach AZTAC school, anti-submarine tactical air controller, and my last shore duty was in Dahlgren, Virginia, as an instructor. I was teaching pre-CO, XO tours. So teaching them how to fight ships and stuff like that. My last station was with Deseron 28 as the lead warfare commander for surface ASW warfare. And from that, I retired.
Cool. At what point did you know that you wanted to be a lifer?
From day one. I actually came in the Navy saying that I would do 30 years. My goal was, because the retirement was 75%, if you did 30 years, you got 75% of your retirement. My goal was to do the 30 years and then retire with 75% of my pension.
Do you have any words of advice for people that are either in or trying to decide if they want to go into the military?
Let's see. My words of advice would be, if you're in the military now, take advantage of the GI Bill while you're in the Navy. Get your education, and then you should be trying to become the best that you can be and make it as high up as you can before you retire. If you're coming in the Navy or military in general, my words of advice there would be to make sure that you know exactly what you're signing up for, what type job you're going to do, and determine whether or not that job is good for you once you do get out of the military. So if your job is, say, as a cook, you know that translates over into a civilian job, and it can help you out there. If you're an operations specialist, then it's a little harder finding a job once you get out. So you have to be creative when you're looking for a job. So my goal, my advice would be, set yourself up for after the military. Don't just look at doing 20 years or 30 years and then planning on not going anywhere after that.
Okay, great advice. Okay, so let's talk about what have you been doing since you got out of the military? What kind of hobbies?
Since I've retired from the military, I just picked up, or I just actually just started doing more of what I like to do. So I actually started working on cars when I was younger, and with my father, more towards Volkswagens and stuff like that. But moved on to Chevelles, 66, 67 Chevelles, and actually restoring cars in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s, with a friend of mine. And now, since I've retired in 2017, I'm actually starting to get a little more into it with the restoration part of it, doing it as a side hobby or job. I've started going to school, Tidewater Community College, going to school for auto mechanics, collision repair, advanced refinishing, painting, and stuff like that. So I'm using the GI Bill, the post 9/11 GI Bill, to, help me with that. With other hobbies, I actually load shotgun shells. I load rifle shells or rifle ammunition and handgun ammunition. My shotgun ammunition, I actually sell that, own a company called Muddy Water Hand Loads, where I load shotgun shells and sell them for hunting. That's a couple of my hobbies, Tim.
Know that you're a bow hunter. What do you like better, using guns or the bow?
I think I like them all. Archery, bow hunting is fun because you're there in the woods before dogs get in the woods. In Virginia, North Carolina, they're allowed to run dogs. So during gun season, so you're in the woods early enough during bow season where there's no dogs, you know, stirring up the deer. The deer are not aware, and you have to get closer to harvest an animal. Black powder is another option. Basically, like them all, black powder, they still haven't run dogs yet, so you've got a couple weeks there where you can take advantage of that. And then I've also got into rifle hunting, but more for bear right now, or not bear, I'm sorry, more for hogs. So going to Georgia hog hunting with rifles. So I kind of like it all.
Okay. Well, you're not just a sports hunter. You when you hunt, you actually harvest the meat and prepare it for your family, friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a trophy hunter by no means. I only take what I'm going to eat and what I'm going to share with family and friends. So, say for instance, last year I killed one 300-pound hog and chose not to go deer hunting last year. This year my plan is to take advantage of deer hunting, where I'll normally average maybe three deer in a season and, you know, try and get one or two hogs.
That's cool. I also know you're an awesome cook. Did you do any schooling for that, or just, you know, come up with recipes on your own, YouTube videos, whatever?
Yeah, no schooling. No schooling per se for cooking. That's more of just going by taste and helping friends and you know, hanging out with friends and doing some cooking. I did volunteer a lot on the ships and would cook extra meals or meals with the CSs on board the ship. So I got a lot of help from them as well. But most of the time I would just bring my food, say a deer or a hog, and share that with people on the ship. But most of my training is just what I learned from my dad cooking.
Very cool. All right. Let me ask you a question. One of the stories we covered has to do with PTSD and fireworks, with July 4th coming up. Do you have that type of problem where you can't be around fireworks, anything like that?
No, I am not. Even though I have PTSD, I've been diagnosed with PTSD. I am not. I'm not worried about fireworks. They don't trigger anything for me.
Okay.
That's not what does it for me.
We're gonna go ahead and wrap this one up. I do appreciate you coming on with us. Sorry for the technical issues earlier.
No problem, Tim.
All right. Give Debbie a hug for me. Love you guys.
Brothers.
And thank you for your service.
All right, brother. Love you. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Ascending on your light, lay your weary eyes on me one last time. Priestess came, she broke out on your way. I believe everything, lay your weary eyes.
This is Brian James, live, WVET, onlineradio.com.
Hello. How you doing?
Brian James, tell everybody, what was the name of that song you were playing just then?
Oh, that was The Priestess.
And The Priestess?
Mm-hmm.
How long ago was that written? Ladies and gentlemen.
It was 2014.
2014, from Brian James. Are there any other projects on the horizon?
I'm working on more songs and more stuff, so hopefully that works out to be something that, you know, that I can actually eventually make real, so.
The future being told today, coming from Brian James. Thank you. Take us out of here with another quiet interlude. James in WVET and WVET Latin. Special tribute. The good stuff. Well, thank you, Brian James. And any other activities that you're involved in? What about your release party? How was that? Miami.
Yeah, that was at the American Airlines Arena. That was a good thing. I got to play in front of a lot of people. It was nice.
Tune in again, 24/7, WVETonlineradio.com.